All right, let's look at the next point. For the mind and the soul, as well as for the body, it is God's law that strength is acquired by effort. It is exercise that develops. In harmony with this law, God has provided in His Word the means for mental and spiritual development. The Bible contains all the principles that men need to understand in order to be fitted either for this life or for the life to come. That's from page 123. Now, that's a phenomenal statement. Did you catch the gravity of that? The Bible contains all the principles that men need to understand in order to be fitted either for this life or for the life to come. Christ Object Lessons, page 107. This is perhaps even a stronger statement. Notice what it says. The Bible is God's great lesson book, His great educator. The foundation of all true science is contained in the Bible. Now notice, every branch of knowledge may be found by searching the Word of God.
Amen.
Do we believe that?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Every branch of knowledge may be found by searching the Word of God. Wow. We need to spend more time in His Word, don't we? Psalm 119, verse 99, David wrote this, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation.
Right.
Now notice, Evangelism, page 577, brings it into sharp focus. Which part of the Bible in particular should we become extremely familiar with? There is need of a much closer study of the Word of God, especially should Daniel and the Revelation have attention as never before in the history of our work. We may have less to say in some lines in regard to the Roman power and the papacy, but we should call attention to what the prophets and apostles have written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has so shaped matters, both in the giving of the prophecy and in the events portrayed, as to teach that the human agent is to be kept out of sight, hid in Christ, and the Lord God of heaven and His law are to be exalted.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, this has brought a lot of conviction to me most recently to get back more deeply into the books of Daniel and Revelation. How about you? Do you have a desire to do that, to understand these things? The Lord will help us to understand these books as we study them and as we study them in connection with each other. And notice, Review and Herald, May 13, 1884. We must be better acquainted with our Bibles. We might close the door to many temptations if we would commit to memory passages of Scripture. Let us hedge up the way to Satan's temptations with "It is written." Yes. Now, as much as we want to hold up this idea of Scripture memory, the next quote I want to read to you I found very interesting about memory work. Notice what we read here from the Review and Herald, October 9, 1883. To read a certain number of chapters daily or commit to memory a stipulated amount without careful thought as to the meaning of the sacred text is a work of little profit. We cannot obtain wisdom without earnest attention and prayerful study. Some portions of Scripture are indeed too plain to be misunderstood, but there are others whose meaning does not lie upon the surface to be seen at a glance. Scripture must be compared with Scripture. There must be careful research and patient reflection, and such study will be richly repaid. As the miner discovers veins of precious metal concealed beneath the surface of the earth, so will he who perseveringly searches the Word of God as for hid treasure find truths of greatest value which are concealed from the view of the careless seeker. And so while we want to memorize Scripture, what's of utmost importance? That we understand it. That we understand it. And by the way, this is a reminder, and so I put a slide next. I want to show you a quotation because it was a reminder to me of something that Mrs. White said about education, true education in contrast to false methods of education that relates to memory work. This is quite remarkable. Notice this. For ages, education has had to do chiefly with the memory. This faculty has been taxed to the utmost while the other mental powers have not been correspondingly developed. Students have spent their time in laboriously crowding the mind with knowledge, very little of which could be utilized. The mind thus burdened with that which it cannot digest and assimilate is weakened. This is a description of much of what is higher education today, so-called. It becomes incapable of vigorous, self-reliant effort and is content to depend on the judgment and perception of others. I find this very interesting. When the focus, when the weight of education is on memory, that tends to cause in us a path of thought that leads us to trust the judgment of others. That is, at the root, that is papal philosophy. You realize that? If you, all you have to do a little research online about the papacy. Catholicism is captured by three words: scripture and tradition. That's what you'll find if you look up Catholicism online. You'll find Catholic sites that basically distill it down to those three words. That's the essence of Catholicism: scripture and tradition. Well, what does that mean? That means, well, scripture, but you need us to tell you how to interpret that scripture. And so I find it interesting that a papal-driven education system presses very heavy on memory. Very heavy on memory. Now notice, we keep reading. The education that consists in the training of the memory, tending to discourage independent thought, has a moral bearing which is too little appreciated, as the student sacrifices the power to reason and judge for himself. He becomes incapable of discriminating between truth and error.
Mercy.
And falls an easy prey to deception. He is easily led to follow tradition and custom. From Education, page 230. An important warning about educational approaches that rely predominantly upon memory work. Well, let's keep going.